without your knowledge. Lord, we just pray that you'll give us insight today as we read your word, as we try to understand it and also apply it to our lives. Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us and teach us and maybe even sometimes break us today as we study about you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Jude. It's the next to the last book in the New Testament. And I'll be reading verses 17 through 23 in an NIV version of the Bible. Jude 17 through 23. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. What do you take with you when you go to the gym? I brought some of the things that I take with me when I go to the gym. I got some good shoes that I take. That's really helpful for your feet so you don't fall down. Good shoes are essential. I also bring some electrolytes, some Gatorade. That's helpful. And any sporting equipment, too. That's really helpful to have all the stuff you need for whatever game you're going to be participating in them. You know, without those things, when I go to the gym, I wouldn't be able to participate or play for very long. And Jude, in his book, tells us to contend for the faith. That's the main verse, the main verb throughout the book, is to contend for the faith. And he's going to talk today about things that we need along the way as we contend for the faith. It's not just contending for a short period of time, but contending over the long term. What are we going to need? Verses 5 through 16, this book tells us about the challenges we're going to face. Apostates, people who once were thought to be believers, who now are not teaching sound doctrine. That's a challenge that we'll face along the way. A key phrase in this book is, but you, dear friends. But you, dear friends. It's like he's pointing this out, or he's calling us out to pay a special attention to something. And this phrase occurs three times, sometimes partially, and sometimes just referred to throughout this book. So it's like a drumbeat each time. Get this, get this, get this. And it's in verses 3, verse 17, verse 20. And then verse 22, it's referring back to this phrase, but you, dear friends. So we're going to follow this phrase through this book, through this section. And we're going to find three items that we need as we contend for the faith that was entrusted to the saints. It was given to the church by the apostles. First thing we're going to need, according to these verses that I read, is a good memory about what the apostles said Look at verses 17 through 19. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. You could almost translate that little phrase there. But you, dear friends, you remember this. And to remember means to call to mind, to be mindful of something that the apostle is going to talk about. And what he's pointing to here is the words that the apostles spoke in the past. We know that words are units of meaning, what God uses so that we might understand what he has on his mind. It's how God communicates with us, is using words. And we're not to take the words that he's used to speak with us lightly. The apostles repeatedly told the people that these apostates would come in the future. It's in a perfect tense there. So it's like they will come, and they will come repeatedly. It's true in the past. It's going to be true in the future. And then in verses 17 through 19, he gives us two sets of threes to describe what these apostates will be like. First of all, he says they will come in the last times, the time between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. He says they will be scoffers or mockers. And they're described in verses 10 through 15 as well. They make fun. They make light of the Word of God. They don't take it seriously. They will follow their own ungodly desires is another thing that he says. They don't want to be told how to live. They will divide you. They will make divisions. They will cause separations. They will destroy unity among believers. They will follow natural instincts. They will be flesh-dominated, worldly-minded. And they won't have the Spirit of God. They'll be empty spiritually. They won't be born again. Apostle Jude tells us to remember what the apostles said. How do we remember the Word of God? How do we do that? Well, we memorize it. It's one good way. We read it every day so that it's refreshed in our minds. We study it in groups, don't we? With other men, with other women, we study it together. We listen to it being preached. That's why one of the reasons why you're here today is to hear the Word of God being preached. We teach it ourselves, and that's one of the best ways to remember the Word of God is to teach it, because then you really have to study it. You have to know it inside and out before you can tell somebody else about it. And we apply it to our daily situations, not just enough to know it, but it's to put it into application in our lives so that we really understand it then. There was a guy named Harry Ironside in the last century who was a great preacher in Chicago. And before he would begin to preach out of a book, he would read it 50 times. 50 times before he'd even begin to say one word to his church. And another guy named Watchman Nee would read through the New Testament 12 times a year. And it really affected his teaching and insight into the rest of the scriptures that he taught. We need to have a good memory, don't we, of what the apostles had taught. That's what we need when we're going out to contend for the gospel. Have a good memory. Remember what the apostles said, and what they said was important. Every single part of it, every word, every part of it, every single sentence, every single period, every single quotation mark, all those are inspired by God and meant for us to be to remember. So that's the first thing we need as we contend for the gospel, is a good memory about what the apostles said. The second thing that I found in these verses is what I call soul care. Soul care. Verse 20 says, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to you eternal life." Again, he begins this section with, "But you, dear friends, you do something." And he's talking about spiritually nurturing yourselves. In addition to remembering what the apostles had said about the apostates, they were to give close attention to their own souls, to their own selves. And in these verses, the Greek text has four parallel participles. Does anybody here know what a participle is? It's like a verb that's used as an adjective to modify the main noun. And the main noun is remember. So these four things help us to remember what the apostles said. The first thing that I found in verse 20 is build yourself up in the holy faith. And that's speaking about personal edification, personal growth, spiritual growth. And it's talking here about the content of the faith. You know, Christianity has a content. What the verses say, what's in the Bible, that's content that we need as we contend for the faith. We study the Bible. We learn how to apply it. And we feed on the Bible for nourishment and growth. We learn how to do that. It's one of the most important things that we do in our Christian lives is we learn how to feed ourselves spiritually. It's not just going on Sunday morning and listening to somebody else, you know, spoon feed us. That's important too, and to be with other Christians. But even more important than that is every day learning to feed ourselves so that by Wednesday, Thursday, we're not running on fumes anymore. We keep the tank full every single day of our lives. So we build ourselves up in the holy faith. Secondly, we pray in the Holy Spirit. We pray in dependence upon, and we pray in agreement with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit provides the power for building the Christian life. We need content of knowing what the Christian faith is, and we need power to go along with that. Thirdly, we keep ourselves in God's love. And this building process of the Christian life involves the Word of God, it involves prayer, and it involves the Spirit of God. And Jude adds another factor, abiding in God's love. It means to be obedient, to love what God loves, and to hate what God hates. And that provides the motivation for us. So we have the content, we have the power, and now we have the motivation for us talked about in these three participles so far. The fourth participle is wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring us to eternal life. And that's something that we are to be longing for, to see in the end God fulfill the promises that he has made to us. When we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, he says what? "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but they will have eternal life." It's decided when we trust Christ, we have eternal life. It's like we have it, but it's fulfilled in the future when we're finally home with God in heaven. And that's the hope that encourages us. We all need encouragement, don't we? So we need content in order to to abide. We need content in order to contend for the faith. We need power in order to contend for the faith. We need proper motivation for contending for the faith. And we need encouragement as we contend for the faith. It's something that we do in our lives all the time. You know, about a month ago, I was at a gym, and I was using this paddle, and my old football coach was playing against me, and he just whomped on me. And, you know, I'm used to this guy grabbing my face mask and yelling at me through my ear hole in my helmet. And here we are in the middle of this court, and he says to me, "George, your arm, you got a cannon for an arm. You know, you got a lot of power in that arm. But you know what you're doing is you're holding your racket wrong. You've got your finger like that. Your hand should be down here like this. And another thing you're doing wrong is, George, you see that little finger, your little pinky there? There's no blood in that pinky because you're squeezing your paddle too hard." He said, "You just do it right. You just hold on to your paddle right. You do your basic things right, then you'll be more successful." And next game, I still got beat. But it was three overtimes that we got beat against some of the best people in Ashland County. I never thought we'd even be on the same court with them. But practicing those basics over and over correctly is what we need in order to contend for the faith, in order to have success as we contend for the gospel. The third thing that I found in this passage is an active, mercy-filled life for those who are perishing. Look at verses 22 and 23. "Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh." So Jude closes this section with the final set of threes. I think he's a great preacher. Threes all the way through this book. Three commands for how to deal with spiritually injured people. People who have been wounded or maimed by these apostates that he has described in this book. And they're to be treated in three different ways. Three different types of people treated three different ways. The first group we see in verse 22, those who doubt. It says, "Be merciful to those who doubt." Be merciful, and there's a variant in that verse there that says, "Convince them." Convince those who doubt. Those who are wavering in the faith because of the deception of these false teachers. Patiently instruct them. Patiently dialogue with them. Patiently pray for them. That's the first group. The second group we see in verse 22. Snatch others from the fire and save them. These people, the second group, we need to snatch from the fire. They have slid into deception, but they have not actually caught on fire yet. You ever see wood like that, where you put it into the fire, and it's starting to turn colors, but it's not actually on fire yet? And that's what it's talking about, as these people, they are surrounded by this false teaching, but they haven't actually started to burn yet. And so they've slid into deception, but they've not caught fire yet. They're not part of that group yet. We seek to rescue them by quick action. Quick, determined action. We reach in there, we grab them, we pull them out of that stuff. The third group, show mercy mixed with fear. It says, "To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh." This third group is the extreme category. These people are entirely polluted by sin. And not only that, they're dangerous to deal with because they're after you. They're after you to bring you into this new enlightened faith that they think is better than yours. And the image is taken from Zechariah chapter 3. We won't go there, but that's where it's from. And for these people, there's a need for absolutely total repentance, absolutely total change of the people they're hanging out with in order for them to stay faithful and be pulled out of the stuff that they're in. About 20 years ago, I went to a country in the Middle East, and I'm not even going to say the name of the country just to protect the people that are still working there. And it was a country that was run by apostates, false teachers. And it's a pretty dangerous place for Christians to be. The guy who was leading our group said, everybody stays together. If you leave the group, we're putting you on a plane and we're sending you home. So stay in the group, guys. It's too dangerous to go anywhere else. And, you know, we went there to try to see if it would be possible to start a church in that country. And we met with several different groups of Christians. And over they told us, you know, if you decide to come here and work here, you might work here 30 years and maybe see one person influenced for the gospel. And, you know, I've gone back and I've studied that from that same area, and they weren't exaggerating. It's really, really tough in that place because anybody who becomes a Christian, they are automatically pursued, persecuted for their faith to the death if they were that other religion before. And, the joy we had was meeting with our guide, who met with us every day. And she was the spark that showed us that there are people in that country looking. And she asked all kinds of questions that we didn't think that people would want to know about. They said, how about Mary? Tell me about Mary. Was she a godly lady? Do you make fun of Mary? And we said, no. She was a woman that we should respect because she obeyed God. She said, how about, is it okay for a Christian man to beat their wife? Is that all right? We said, no, that's not all right. A truly Christian guy would not do that. She said, how about makeup? Can a Christian gal wear makeup? And we said, of course. You know, if the barn needs painting, paint it. You know, whatever. You know, but it's okay. You know, we treat women like real people. Women are real people. And we don't abuse Christian ladies. And, you know, and before we left, she decided to give her life to Jesus. And from that day, she has been persecuted for her faith. She runs, she hides because of her new faith in Jesus Christ. But now she is contending for the faith. She is remembering very closely what the apostle said about the true faith that we have in Jesus. She remembers that and she values those things. You know, to have the word of God in her own language is a wonderful thing. And she uses it and she reads it often. And she also spends a lot of time personally building herself up in the faith because there are no churches there. We went to one church and it was mainly Africans at this church, and there was one Bible study they had, but it was unannounced that week. So the army actually came and arrested them all, and they beat them all, and the leader was still in prison as we left that town, and we were glad they weren't after us. They didn't see us there. But so it's important for those people in that situation especially be able to feed themselves, to build herself up in the holy faith, to pray in the Holy Spirit, to keep herself in God's love, and to wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring her ultimate salvation, eternal life in heaven. And she also has a ministry of being able to work with other people who have been damaged by this apostate type of teaching that she lives in, so prevalent in her country. We have a great privilege of living in this nation that we live in, where we can in peace prepare for contending for the faith for the long term. Are you contending for the faith? Are you taking the opportunities that you have to talk with people about Jesus? You know, we can do it without somebody busting us in the head, you know, or putting us in jail. What a great privilege that is. And how are you preparing to contend for the faith? You know, what kind of things are you putting in your bag spiritually for your life so that you're ready for these things? And finally, do you know Christ as your Savior? It's impossible to put those things into your life unless you initially have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the most important decision any person can make in their lives, to say yes to Jesus, to say, I'm going to say no to the sin that so dominated my life. I'm going to give my life to Him. I'm going to allow Him to be my Savior and Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for this day that You've given to us, and even the rain outside that we've prayed so long for. Lord, we just pray for the right kind of weather and to help us in all the things we do. We also pray, God, that we'll devote ourselves to doing the right things so that we are able to contend for this faith, this precious, holy faith that You have given to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Final hymn.